welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Stuart Smythe, an associate professor and the Agri-Food Innovation and Sustainability Enhancement Chair with the University of Saskatchewan. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Smythe.
My pleasure. Good afternoon, Bruce.
As part of a swine innovation pork panel discussion, which focused on gene editing, held in conjunction with the 2023 Banff Pork Seminar, you discussed the topic ethics and regulators and the public. First of all, what is gene editing and how is gene editing accomplished?
So gene editing is an evolution of a technology that dates back to the 1930s when scientists were using chemical and radiation mutation to develop new crop varieties. And we've been safely producing and consuming these mutagenic developed varieties for 90 years now. So it's what gene editing is instead of the way mutation or chemical or radiation mutation works, is where you can have tens of thousands of genes that are mutated, and the plant breeder then does their best to identify which key genes or key traits have been modified the most. With gene editing, the plant breeder can precisely and in a very controlled fashion go in and increase or decrease or remove a targeted gene. So it's a very precise method of improving plant. It's mainly been used in plant varieties so far. So it's how our plant varieties are going to be developed for the foreseeable future.
How far advanced is the science of gene editing, and how is gene editing being used now?
Yeah, there's a lot of research going on in Canada. We haven't actually commercialized a product in Canada. The United States has approved soybeans, and those soybeans will be eligible to enter into Canada as conventional soybeans. Brazil is very close, probably within the next 2 years. Is the latest I've heard is that they'll have gene edited crops on the market. So I would think that in Canada, we're probably within maybe 3 to 5 years of having gene edited crop varieties being produced and available in Canada.
How tightly is the use of gene editing regulated at this point, and why?
So gene editing is different than genetically modified, where under the genetically modified regulations, if there was a gene from a different species inserted into a plant's genome, then it went through an additional risk assessment. And Health Canada in May of last year announced that their review of the science behind gene editing and the targeted precision control offered by the technology was just simply an evolution of mutagenic breeding. And so there won't be any additional regulatory oversight. So it's a significant benefit for Canadians and consumers as well, is that it's going to increase the innovative capacity of our food production system and hopefully contribute to keeping food prices a little bit lower in Canada.
What are the possible applications of gene editing in the pork sector?
Yeah, so that's where it gets really interesting, is that, with these wild pigs, which are an invasive species, so that means they're a danger to our society, to the environment, certainly in terms of society dangers, is, that they're capable of spreading diseases that our pork industry would have to spend a lot of money controlling. So I think in terms of invasive species as a whole, and specifically with these wild pigs, gene editing may be able to offer a solution in helping to reduce the population and the environmental degradation caused by invasive species. So in the case of the wild pigs, it would be to introduce a sterility trait, which you'd make the edit and then release the pigs back into the environment, and helping to reduce the size of the populations.
what are the potential costs associated with not taking action to control wild pigs?
Yeah, that. So one of the comparables in this case would be when, you know, 20 years ago when the BSE crisis was identified in Canada. Canada went from being a top three beef exporter to virtually no beef exports between 2003 and 2004. So it cost our industry billions of dollars, and the Canadian pork exports amount to, you know, about $5 billion a year over the last 3-5 years. So if there was say African swine flu, which is an extremely dangerous disease for pork production, and really the only way means of controlling it, or if it's detected, is to entirely eradicate the herd. So, it, you know, the cost would be into the hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, if nothing is done to prevent the spread of diseases that are highly transmissible from wild pigs.
What are the key factors to take into consideration when looking at potentially applying gene editing?
I think that the main thing to look at would be, are there any changes at the genetic level that would be different from any other breeding technology or technique that's being used in any aspect of agriculture? And if the risk of using gene editing to change a gene is no different than other targeted breeding technologies, the science is indicating that the risk from any of those potential varieties or resulting offspring would be as safe as any other technology. So I think it's important that the risk perspective be looked at, and if the technology is not changing the risk, then we don't need to be regulating it, because, you know, the increased cost of regulation is one of the contributors to higher food prices.
How knowledgeable or how interested is the public when it comes to the application of gene editing technology, especially in food production, and why?
Yeah, so there's been a number of surveys. The public are quite aware about genetic modification and some of the products around it. The awareness and knowledge about the technology of gene editing drops off significantly because it's a very new technology. It's not even been a decade since the first publications on the technology were available. So the public have some concerns. They also, when asked, think that the technology has the opportunity to provide some benefits, and so it's a bit of a trade-off for a lot of the public. Their, you know, their lack of awareness about it raises some concerns, but you know, for the most part, they tend to be optimistic about some of the potentials that could come from the technology. So I think, you know, we, as the agriculture sector, has the opportunity to reach out and provide information to the public about, you know, the potential advantages of using these technologies to, you know, develop new livestock and crop varieties.
As we move forward, what are the key challenges, the major hurdles?
I think that the major hurdle is going to be, will the regulatory system treat gene-edited livestock as equivalent to conventional livestock? And that if that doesn't occur, then it's going to increase the amount of time it takes to get new livestock through any type of a regulatory system. One of the challenges that we have in Canada is we don't currently have a regulatory system for gene edited livestock. So having to develop that system from scratch would be a significant time requirement, and there's no evidence so far that the risk is there to justify the development of such a system. So the potential regulatory barriers are probably one of the biggest challenges right now.
What does the future potentially hold for the application of this technology?
I think it provides significant opportunities for agriculture to not only maintain but also increase production as the climates change. That's one of one of the biggest challenges facing agriculture at the global level is how do we ensure that we're capable of increasing production as climate changes so that the end result isn't simply hundreds of millions of more people being food insecure. So agriculture needs the most innovative technologies possible to ensure that crop and livestock agriculture is able to be as productive as we possibly can.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I think that the research offers some really sort of game-changing potential benefits. There's some really interesting research out of Illinois where they're using gene editing to increase a plant's capability to photosynthesize, which means it sequesters more greenhouse gases as it's producing soybeans in this case. So just imagine if we were able to put that technology into our forests and we had forests that could sequester more carbon than they're currently doing. So it might offer tremendous solutions to helping mitigate climate change. So I think, the more innovative we can be about gene editing, the greater the potential social benefits are.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Our guest has been Dr. Stuart Smythe, an associate professor and the Agri-Food Innovation and Sustainability Enhancement Chair with the University of Saskatchewan. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.